Brethren, to start out this morning, I don't know if you possibly have heard, but there's a presidential election going on, and an election coming this Tuesday. The last I heard about the race, it was like a Siamese giraffe. It was neck and neck. Betty's not laughing. That was for Betty. She's always saying that she likes my humor, but... But unless you've been living underneath a rock or in outer space, which may be a preferable at this point, you probably know that on Tuesday, the United States will elect its 45th president. I heard a lot of people have had election fatigue, and collectively, as a nation, we may need an Alka-Seltzer. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is when Tuesday finally comes. I'm sure it's only going to be a short amount of relief, though. This sermon is not a sermon. It's turning into a sermon. This sermonette is not about why we should not vote. I'm already operating on the premise that we're not voting. But if we will not be voting, brethren, or participating in the presidential election, I want us to stop and let us consider and give ourselves some reflection on how God the Father and Jesus Christ feel about and view this election. The SPS of this sermonette is to show what kind of election we, as God's people at the end of this age, should really be concerned about. What kind of election should we be concerned about as Christians? And how does God feel about elections of mankind? Brethren, how does God feel about mankind ruling over other men? If you would, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 10. And we'll start there this morning. And it gives us an insight about how God created man. And in particular, one particular thing or characteristic that God did not put in man. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. So brethren, God made men and women. He gave certain talents, certain capabilities. But one of the talents, one of the capabilities that he left out of our DNA as humans is the ability to properly rule over our own actions without direct guidance from God. So if we as individuals cannot properly rule our own lives without God's direct help and direction and intervention, is it therefore going to be possible for any elected official or any election of man, electing one man or one woman to rule over a nation, to justly rule a country or a nation? And obviously the answer is no. History repeats itself. Have you ever heard the saying that history repeats itself? How about the definition of insanity? Albert Einstein said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Brethren, the history of mankind ever since the Garden of Eden has been doing the same thing over and over without God and expecting a different result but getting the same thing. So unfortunately, because man has rejected the rulership of God and chosen for itself self-rulership, bad human history has continued to repeat itself since the Garden of Eden down through the ancient days of Israel and even up until this very day. How did God feel about the people that he had selected, the nation of Israel, wanting to rule itself? And how does he feel today as Americans, direct descendants of those Israelites, doing the same thing every 4 years, trying to elect a president, expecting a different result, but getting the same old thing? 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1, we get an insight about how God felt when the nation of Israel rejected him. And if you've ever been rejected in some way, particularly by another person that you loved or were close to, it can hurt your feelings tremendously. First Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Dropping down to verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Pretty sad statement, probably hurtful to God in many, many ways. What about Christ? How did he feel walking the streets of Jerusalem, walking the streets of the nation of Israel when he was alive? How did he look and how did he feel about the people rejecting him and God the Father and their rulership? Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 3 and 23 and verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you simply were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Again, a sad statement about a people who rejected their God and their God's feelings about how he felt about that rejection. So, brethren, what is the natural result of the rejection of God's rulership? As a dentist, I see probably sometimes up to 50 people a day. A big part of my job is doing exams. And as a result of doing those exams, I have to make a diagnosis. So, a little history lesson for Mason and Jackson. The initials of the United States, the U for United, the S for States. I'm not sure whoever came up with it, but they came up with a personification of those initials and turned it into a name. His name is Uncle Sam. And you may see some pictures of Uncle Sam from time to time pointing at you, looking very sternly, with a big hat with stars and stripes on it. But that is who Uncle Sam was created, to give this country and give the country a personality, so to speak. So what if Uncle Sam came into my dental office and I did a dental exam on Uncle Sam and gave him a diagnosis? What would we see? I think after doing an exam on Uncle Sam and doing a diagnosis on him, it wouldn't be good. I would say he probably needs an entire full mouth rehabilitation. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. The results of mankind rejecting God's rulership, electing men to rule over himself. This is the end result. And as we read this, I think you'll see that we see that in the world, the country, and the culture that we live in today. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity." I don't know about you, have you heard any lies or perversity in the past year and a half? during this election season? I know I have. Verse 4, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead the truth. I've heard each side claim they want truth and justice. But for the most part, it's only to advance their own agenda or their own political spin. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. If you've seen any of the political rallies and the candidates speaking at those rallies, a lot of it is lies. And the people at those rallies, unfortunately, are trusting in those lies and in empty words. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their egg dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Maybe you've heard the candidates campaigning on their past works and accomplishments. Not so much so. It's really a matter of who's worse than the other person, not based on any accomplishments whatsoever, because both of them have such a checkered past. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. There is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for the light, but there is darkness. For the brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. Have you ever been friends with somebody who has been blind? I know over the years we've had several blind members. I know there's a current member in the Atlanta, Georgia church where Lynn and I used to live, Brent Reynolds. He's blind. He can't walk without walking into something unless he has a seeing eye dog or someone else to guide him. We all groan like bears and moan sadly like doves. Have you heard some candidates growling like bears from both candidates with no action behind it? We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but is far from us. And transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. The truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Do you think most Americans now have the perception that there are one set of rules for those who have power and another set of standards for those of the common man on the street? So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Anybody who would dare point out the evil of either candidate from a standpoint of sincere truth is absolutely vilified and derided. Brethren, not a good diagnosis for Uncle Sam. In fact, Uncle Sam, in terms of the world of dentistry, has a whole lot of decay. He needs a full mouth rehabilitation with lots of fillings, root canals, and even an extraction or two. Now the good news. Brethren, if we are not voting or participating in this election or in men's elections, what are we to do? Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I did command them, obey, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, so that it may be well with you. So, brethren, what we are to do is we are to obey God's voice, walk in His ways as He has commanded us, and I would also add praying that it would be well with us. Brethren, I said in the SPS that I was going to tell you what election we should really be concentrating on and what election that really counts for us. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. This is the election that we are to concentrate on and that we are to really be worried about. No other election really matters to us in our lives. Therefore, brethren, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble like the blind men, like mankind ruling themselves, groping for the wall in the daylight at noon. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly until the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brethren, the word election in the English language, many people who are foreign language speakers find English very difficult because many words have, one word has more than one meaning. So I kind of duped you in the SPS talking about elections, but that's not the kind of election I was talking about. I wasn't talking about an election of man, was I? I was talking about the election of us by God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, the word elected means chosen by God. And brethren, if we are remain faithful, we will indeed be elected by God and not by men to a physical office, but to a position of rulership in the kingdom of God. Brethren, this coming Tuesday, Americans will go to the polls and they will make an election for the president, the next president of the United States. Sadly, once again, they will demonstrate a rejection of Christ and his rulership, attempting to do the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome, but only achieving the same result. Human history will continue to repeat itself as a result of the election of a human man, or in this particular case, this year, a woman. Let us, as God's people, at the end of this age, be focused and concerned on the only truly important election, brethren, not the election by a vote to an office by men or and women, but our election by God the Father and Jesus Christ to serve the rest of humanity as the first righteous rulers for the first time in the history of mankind.